Let us turn again to the chapter of God's Word, which we read together, Job chapter 36, and let us consider now verse 18. Because there is wrath, beware lest he take thee away with a stroke, then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. Because there is wrath, beware lest he take thee away with a stroke, then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. Here is Elihu speaking to Job. Job had suffered seriously. He had lost all his family. He had lost all his wealth. They were all taken away in one way and another. And then he broke out in some kind of skin condition, which was very difficult to deal with. And behind that was Satan. And yet, it was God's purpose. God was testing Job. And he came through that testing. Now, there's a great mystery there. And we shouldn't be surprised to find mysteries in the Bible and to find mysteries in providence. The ways of God and the purposes of God, we should expect them to be beyond what we can understand. And that is how it is. God is so much greater than we are. We cannot understand. There's something of that nature, and I kind of put my finger on it quickly. But in this chapter, that it is said we cannot know God. Now, we can know God, but the point there is that we cannot know him fully. We cannot know God completely, and we shouldn't expect to know God completely, because God is infinite. We're not infinite by any means. We're limited. We're finite. And we should believe that. And when we go to, when we are in difficulty and we want to understand some things about our providence plans, then we should go to the Bible. And we may well get help from the Bible. That's what we should be asking God for, that we would get help when we go to the Bible. But we need him to enlighten us, to give us spiritual light on our difficulties. Now, Job was in great difficulty, and his three of his friends came to sympathize with him. Well, they weren't very successful. God's ways of working were greater than they could understand. They struggled. And eventually they gave up. And that was when Elihu came on the scene. Now, he had better understanding. I'm not going to say he had a perfect understanding of God and his ways of work, but he had a better understanding. And by what he said, he prepared the way for God to speak. That's what we have in the closing chapter. And when all is done, Job saw that there was more sin in him and less perfection in him than he had imagined. I say that in spite of what is said about him at the beginning of the book, that he was a perfect man. A perfect man and an upright man. Now, the point there is, or one point, that perfect and upright are being used in the same sense, not absolute perfection, as we would use the word, but I'm sure that's the best way of translating it. He was, it's said of others too, like Abraham. He was perfect. But, you see, he was one who had the fear of God in his heart, one who loved God and tried to serve him. That was true of Job. His heart was in the right place, one might say. Though, in the way we would use the word normally, he wasn't perfect. But in translating from a word from one language to another, you mightn't get the, it might be very difficult to put across the same shade of meaning. And we have to read it in its context. We're to read what is said about Job in the context of the whole book, for instance, or Abraham. In spite of the obvious sins that he committed, he was one that sought to follow God. He was one that wanted to keep God's commandments. He was one that tried hard to do what God was telling him to do, and that in the case of Abraham was illustrated by his willingness to sacrifice his son. Of course, he wasn't allowed to do that. God stopped, but God was testing him. God tested him in a particular way. God tested Job in another way. And God tests all his children in one way or another, perhaps in unexpected ways. And that testing is to be distinguished from chastisement. David suffered chastisement after his great sin. He suffered chastisement in his own family through Absalom, for instance. But, you see, he was brought back. He was brought back from his sin. It was a difficult path back. He seemed to glide along, perhaps, into sin. But it was a very hard path to get back. But you can look at David at the end of his life, and I think I mentioned that recently. He was spoke of the everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure, and he said, as an upright, godly, perfect man, this is all my salvation and all my desire. He was trusting in the God that made him, trusting in the God that saved him. Now, no doubt, Job said a number of foolish things in his struggle. And he struggled with the difficulties of his life, the loss of children, and on a much lower level, the loss of his property. But there was also the pain and discomfort of his skin condition. And he spoke unwisely at times, and he spoke in a wonderfully holy, godly way at times, when he was looking forward to the resurrection. Though in my skin worms destroy my body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. There would be a resurrection. He would be raised up again, and he would see God. Yes, wonderful faith. Wonderful faith in the depths of his suffering. Yes. But, you see, here is Elihu reasoning with him, and perhaps going too far in his understanding of Job. But you see, it's a warning for us. Because there is wrath, beware lest he, that is God, take thee away with his stroke, then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. Because there is wrath, because God can be angry, as such words are used in Scripture, there's no loss of control as there would be with human beings when they get angry. They might say far too much. They may say very foolish things when they're angry. They may make unreasonable threats when they get angry. There's nothing unreasonable about God's threats. They're absolutely accurate. And you see, when we consider all this and consider our own situation and the situation of everything in this world, we are to remember that it is God who created everything, and therefore he has authority over all things. God is the creator. God has authority. God has authority over us. And let it be said to us, because there is wrath, beware. Be careful. Watch. Consider things properly. See, that's what the sort of lesson we should be drawing out of this verse. We should be drawing lessons for ourselves out of what we're reading in the Bible, as I hope we are. What is it to say to us? Because there is wrath. It's because of our sin. God's warnings through Elijah that our sin deserves God's wrath, God's anger. But how does that anger work itself out? How does that anger work itself out? Well, it's God acting to punish the sinner. And the full punishment of sin is in a lost eternity. And you see, we should be drawing this lesson. I hope to speak about it much more later on. But, you see, just to summarize just now, if God can be angry, if God punishes sin, then we are to learn, I should do all in my power to escape that punishment. I should do all in my power to escape that punishment. Yes. I should go to Christ. Let me fill that in just now. I should believe, I should trust in the Lord Jesus Christ who has revealed himself in this world. That's my duty. That's what I'm called to do. Yes, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Because there is wrath, beware, lest he take thee away with his stroke, lest he sweep you into a lost eternity. We're to look for a ransom, and any ransom that we can provide, however rich we might be, however long we might make the effort to find a ransom of some kind, and perhaps the automatic reaction in many cases is, let me try to please God. Let me try to buy his favor by really striving to keep God's commandments. Yes. But no matter how great that kind of ransom is, it's not going to satisfy the perfect justice of God. You see, when somebody is kidnapped, the family might try to pay a ransom. They may not be able to pay anything. But somebody was kidnapped in the hope that a great ransom would follow. We can't pay it. We can't provide a big enough ransom. We can't provide a suitable ransom. But Christ came into the world to pay that ransom to the justice of God, to turn away the anger of God. That's it. But let me stress 2 points. First, God's wrath. The state, the condition that sinners are in because of their sin. There is wrath. There is wrath. And the second point is this. We should seek a ransom. We should seek to be prepared. We should seek to be delivered from the wrath of God. First, then, the wrath. And second, our need to find a ransom. Not provided by ourselves. Not provided by any other human being. But provided by the Son of God, who took human nature so that he could provide a great ransom. So that he could rescue sinners from the wrath to come. First then, the anger. And Paul speaks to the Ephesians about sin. And we should be careful not to hide our minds from the reality of sin, our sin. He speaks about fornication and all uncleanness, covetousness, as examples of sin. He speaks about filthiness, foolish talking, jesting. And he reminds them that no whoremonger, not unclean person, not covetous man who is an idolater, no such person has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. And then he says, because of these things, the various sins and any other sins that might be named, because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. The children of disobedience, in other words, those who are characterized by disobedience to God. Sinners, outward sinners, obvious sinners. Now, all of us sin in our hearts, in our thoughts, in the way we think, in our motives, but not all of us are obviously sinners. We may be kept in God's mercy from these various sins, in particular against the seventh commandment. No doubt Ephesus was prominent for these sins. These pagan cities, at that time in particular, they were noted for their sins of that kind. Now, what Paul is saying, and our point just now is, because of these sins, the wrath of God, the anger of God, comes upon those who are guilty of them. Now, it's not just these people. Because we're born in sin, we have a sinful nature to start off with. People might be wicked enough to teach other people particular sins, but no one needs to be taught to sin. No one needs to be taught to sin. It's in us. We've inherited Adam's fallen nature. You see, God hates sin. And God must punish sin because he is just. He would be shocked if a judge said after the person at the bar has been found guilty and the time for sentence comes, suppose the judge says, it doesn't matter. Just go. Go home and enjoy yourself. You would say, that man's not fit to be a judge. He's not acting justly. Letting somebody off when there's no excuse, when it's a serious crime, sort of thing that everybody recognizes. That's not justice. See people crying out for justice. Something has happened to a relative or to themselves. But if it's a relative, what's often said is, I want justice for so-and-so. Well, what about God? Are we crying out for justice on the part of God? Well, for one thing, we don't need to. And for another thing, people mightn't be very happy when The punishment of sin comes to themselves, their sin, because there is wrath, because God is just, because God takes action because of sin. There are consequences for us, for our thinking. There are consequences. That's what Elihu is pointing to. And you see, there is a remedy, as I've said. But supposing we're not paying attention to the remedy, supposing we're not seeking the remedy, supposing we're not asking God to deliver us, seeing he has provided our answer, then this is what is true. He that believeth not the Son, that's the Son of God, Christ Jesus, he shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The wrath of God stays. It lasts. It's not taken away. Yes. That's our position. That's our situation. If we're not believing in Christ Jesus, if we're not trusting in him for salvation, then the wrath of God is still pursuing us. Or put it another way, the wrath of God hangs suspended, not being put into full effect as yet, but it's there. It's there to follow the sinner into a lost eternity if he will not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If all that we could say because of our sin is that the anger of God is waiting for us, that wouldn't be much good considering these things. But there is reason to consider these things. And that is because there's a way of escape. That's because there's salvation to be found if we will seek it. We're to be crying out to God in these words, for instance, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. A sinner against whom God's anger is going out. A sinner. Now that's a solemn thing. It's a solemn thing to have an existence in this world. We're in a solemn position when we are capable of sinning and are sinning. That's a solemn position to be in. That's what we've been reminded of here. Because there is wrath. You see, God is just. And as Elijah was saying, far be it from the Almighty that he should do wickedness. Far be it from the Almighty One to leave sin unpunished. And if sin is to be forgiven, the sin must still be punished. Punished in Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the greatness of the provision. That's the greatness of the ransom. That's the wonder of the ransom. That it was earned by the Son of God who had taken our nature, suffering, even as far as death. That's the situation. Because there is wrath. we are to be ready to seek the Lord. Therefore, as the Saviour said, be ye ready also, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man comes. The Son of Man, Christ, the Son of God in our nature, as he most commonly spoke of himself when he was in this world. He was the man. Not just any man, but the man, the perfect man, the Savior man, the God man. Yes. We are to be ready. Christ will come at the end of the world unexpectedly. And how often he comes for individual sinners to bring them through death unexpectedly. Beware, because of wrath. And the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. That's the wages that are paid by those who have earned them. Very easy to earn these wages. Terrible wages. Everlasting punishment. Yes. You see, again, it's reminding us. It's teaching us a lesson. That we should seek salvation. That we should be earnest and urgent about it. We'll come to that further. You see, we may leave it all until it is too late. It's a parable, of course, in Matthew 25 about the 5 wise virgins and the 5 who were foolish. There are no oil in their vessels. That's what was true about the foolish virgins. Yes. They were waiting for the Son of Man. But these virgins fell asleep. And when they were wakened by the noise of the bridegroom coming, they came to, realizing they had no light. They were not showing themselves to be friends of the bridegroom. They weren't paying attention to time passing. They allowed themselves to go off to sleep, but they had no oil in their vessel to keep the lamps burning. And when they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they were shut out. It's Jesus teaching us to be ready no matter when he will come. When he will come to take us away from this world. Yes. We're to be prepared for that. Just let us remember that when the Son of Man comes and comes for us individually, this will be fulfilled. The work of a man, it's in chapter 34, the work of a man will he, God, render to him. It's what he has done. It's the consequences of what the man has done, or the woman, or the child. That's what will be paid as wages. It will be done justly. And we're not to forget the wrath of God. Those who haven't found Christ, they're not to forget the wrath of God. because there is wrath. That's what the Lord is saying. Because there is wrath. Let us remember that. Let us not put it away from us. Unless we can say, I have found Jesus. I have found the one who has paid our ransom. Then we can say, the wrath came upon Christ. He died. He suffered. And how terribly he suffered because of human sin. He had come so that there would be a ransom to pay for sinners. Yes. And let us just refer to what we had in Psalm 49. None of them can by any means redeem his brother. Christ is the great brother who came to pay a ransom for sinners. But remember that there is wrath. And only if we look to Christ can we escape the wrath of God being poured out throughout eternity. But let us remember these things secondly and seek a preparation while we have the opportunity of finding it. Let us think of Christ as the one who has taken the guilt of sinners upon himself and carried that guilt away. Yes, Christ taking the guilt of sinners upon himself and carrying that guilt away. He was a substitute for sinners. And that's something we should be thinking about. There's a substitute for sinners. You've got this in Proverbs 11. Riches profit not in the day of wrath. Riches do not profit anyone on the day of their death. The fact that someone was a billionaire and has passed away, all these billions of money are useless. They give him a grand funeral, but what's that? He'll not be conscious of that. They do not profit. Then, they may profit now to an extent, but you see, we need something that money cannot buy. Christ could buy it. Christ could make it available. Christ could take away sin. Christ could bear the anger of God and all that was involved in that. So that he had to cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He felt the awfulness of the wrath of God. Now, see, we should think about it and flee to Christ. He is the Savior. He has provided salvation. But you see, we close our eyes to so much. You would never deny but that you will die. But are you reacting to that in a sensible way? Are you trying to find Christ for yourself? Are you seeking for Christ? Yes. That's the question. It's for you to answer and me. Are you trusting in him? Righteousness delivereth from death. On the other hand, Well, you could say, you could think of the righteousness of Christ made over to a sinner who is brought to believe in him. But I think what it means is it's righteous living as evidence of believing in Christ. It delivers from death. It marks out the believer as one who is going to heaven. It marks out the believer as one who is going to heaven. But the ransom that Christ has provided. Think of Peter's words in 1 Peter 1. You are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold. And gold especially is something you do not expect to corrupt, to if it was something else, I would use the word rust. It doesn't rust away. It's a wrong word, I know. But I think it gives the picture. That's the negative. But you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. Christ died, in other words, so that sinners might live. Christ died to turn away the anger of God. That's it. He met the anger of God. And because he was God himself, he stood up against that wrath. He died. Yes, he died. He was bearing the wages of death, wages of sin on behalf of a huge number of people who will believe, who have believed. He was taking that place. And so, when a sinner feels the need of salvation, because there is wrath, how can they escape? Well, we're to look to the one who bore away the wrath of God, who took the wrath of God so that sinners might be accepted by God, as if they had never sinned. And Christ's runs, the price that Christ died through, it is suited to the needs of the sinner. It is suited to the needs of the sinner. Sinner, will you not come? Come to Christ. Will you not look to him? Will you not trust in him as the one who has provided salvation? No ransom, no earthly ransom, no material ransom can deliver you from the anger of God, from the punishment of sin. But Christ procured a ransom, and he pays it. He presents the merits of his death before the Father, God the Father. He presents the merits of his death, and they are accepted, and the sinner goes free. Is that not wonderful? A sinner that deserves eternal wrath, and that sinner comes to Christ, if that's the case, that sinner will go to heaven at death. He will not be cast down to hell to meet the wrath of God, to endure the wrath of God forever. That's one very solemn aspect of it. But you see, let us be afraid of being left to meet the anger of God. Let us look for a substitute. Where will we find a substitute? Go to the Bible. And surely if you read it through, you can't miss. You can't miss Christ. You meet him again and again. Oh, look to him and what is said about him. Look to him in the light of what is said about him. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That Christ took the place of sinners and met with the curse. Met with the wrath of God. Yes. And he is able to pay the ransom, to pay the ransom in your place. Do you realize that you have to face the wrath of God? Do you look for a way out? There is one way out and only one. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Grasp hold of that. That's what I'm trying to tell you. That's what the Bible is telling you. That there's a way of escape, that a ransom has been provided. Oh, what a relief. And I'm not saying, taking into account just now the danger in human situations, purely human situations, when a ransom is called for and a ransom is paid, that it only encourages repeat demands for a ransom. But you see, what relief if the family of the person who has been kidnapped, if they hear a ransom has been paid, perhaps they don't know who paid it, but what relief. They can hope to get their loved one home, and the loved one appears before law. What relief. Well, so it should be with us. We need a ransom, and we have no ransom, no great enough ransom to provide. But a ransom has been paid, and we know who it was. We know it was Christ. It's to him we are to look. Christ Jesus, to repeat the words again. They are such wonderful words. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's the matter. That's a great matter. And it's relevant to us all. Because there is wrath, beware. Because there is wrath, seek for one who can pay that ransom. In fact, seek for the one who has paid that ransom. Yes, went into the most holy place in heaven to present that ransom for all who will ever believe. Yes. And you see these wonderful words from chapter 33. As if Elijah was looking into heaven and seeing God and seeing the sinner at the same time. And that sinner seeks salvation by God's grace. That sinner looks to the one who is to provide salvation. And he thinks of God saying, deliver that sinner from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. Deliver that sinner. Because if we put it into the terms we might use after Christ has come and died, God saying, not only I have found a ransom, but the ransom has been paid. And let the sinner look to that Savior and the ransom is highlighted in the mind of God, if we can put it like that. And he says, I have found not only the payer of the ransom, but I have found the ransom, and it covers that sinner that sinner has believed. So that's how it should be with us. We should be seeking for Christ. We should seek to believe in him. We should ask the Lord to draw us, to put faith into our hearts, because Christ has come. Christ has died. Christ is exalted, a prince and a savior, to give repentance and forgiveness of sins. And let me say to anyone here who is struggling with this matter of salvation, I cannot believe what the sinner says. I cannot come to Christ. I cannot trust. Ah well, remember this. Christ is exalted to give these things. He has made the provision. He is stretching out his hand, as it were, and saying, remember what I did when I was in this world. Remember what I am doing now. On the throne of glory, I am providing salvation. I have salvation to provide. I give salvation. I give it freely. You may have no ransom great enough. You cannot have any ransom great enough. But the Lord is saying to you, I have found a ransom. Christ died. Christ gave himself in the place of sinners. There is a ransom full and free just to be taken, that you might be delivered from the wrath. And you see, when the sinner believes, the Lord is, as it were, saying, there is no more wrath. The sinner believing, think of Saul of Tarsus on the way to Damascus, and there is wrath. He has committed so many times the sin of persecuting God's people. He has that purpose in his heart when he is stopped on the way to Damascus, and he believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what the Lord is saying is, as far as Saul of Tarsus is concerned, there is no more wrath. His sins will never be punished on himself. He will go free. He will be taken to heaven when Christ will come to him. Yes, no more wrath. And as far as those here are concerned, who have believed on Christ, then there is no more wrath. The wrath that your sins deserve will never be laid on you. You will go free. And you see what we have in Psalm 103. He will not chide with us. He will not always chide. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, as our sins deserved. That's what David is saying. And every believer has the right to harmonize with David in singing these words. No more wrath. Is that not a wonderful conclusion? Though it's a very solemn text we have, still, you see, go another step. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Go another step still. He has exalted a prince and a savior to give repentance. What we cannot do in our own strength, he can give it. And he can give faith, and he can give forgiveness of sins. And go another step further. There is no more wrath for those who believe. May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray. Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy on us. Have mercy on those who are still under thy wrath. Deliver them, Lord. Bring them to thyself. Encourage thy children to believe that there is no more wrath for them. Not that they are to sin, as thou art teaching us, but Lord, make thy people holy. Make them to trust ever more strong. Bring many to thyself. Pardon us and bless us and keep us. Make us truly thankful. And make us truly thankful for this great salvation. For Jesus' sake, amen.